This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a closer look at stories from our radio newsrooms across the nation. Today, we're turning our gaze to the thousands of employees who have lost their jobs or are on the verge of losing them as President Donald Trump keeps his vow to shrink the federal government. Throughout his first month in office, Trump has enacted sweeping changes, from ending diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts to cutting entire agencies. Trump's efforts are being spearheaded by the newly created Department of Government Efficiency, the Office of Personnel Management, and, of course, tech billionaire Elon Musk. So here's what's happened so far. For starters, Trump issued a blanket offer to all federal employees in his first week in office. His administration asked these employees if they were willing to leave their jobs in exchange for paychecks through the end of September. This offer was initially paused by lawsuits, but then it was allowed to continue earlier this month. White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt shared that the administration expected 77,000 workers to accept the deal, accounting for about 4% of the government's total workforce. Since the offer to leave on their own was given, the Trump team has since moved into more forceful means of reducing federal staffing numbers. DOGE, as the Department of Government Efficiency is called, has claimed on its website that it's behind cuts in numerous top agencies. These include the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Commerce, the Environmental Protection Agency, the Department of Health and Human Services, the Department of Homeland Security, and more. Now, a majority of these cuts have featured employees who are still considered to be in their probationary period, meaning they were hired within the last year. This slashing of positions and departments has been really quick. So it's probably not surprising that it's also created a bit of confusion. Some workers are now even being rehired after it was found that they shouldn't have been fired in the first place. And we've got some examples of these erroneously fired employees. Workers for the United States Department of Agriculture who were working on the current avian flu outbreaks, and some nuclear safety employees. To throw yet another wrench into the confusing times, the White House said last week in court documents that Elon Musk isn't actually a part of DOGE, despite previous comments about him leading the group. To break down what's been going on, Odyssey talked with Margaret Brennan, the CBS News chief foreign affairs correspondent and moderator of Face the Nation.
I guess we should start with whether or not Elon Musk actually is the DOGE chief or not. I guess there's differing statements regarding that.
Well, there's a bit, little bit of posturing around this, so to speak. I believe one of the White House officials from the podium in the briefing room yesterday called him an IT consultant, which is an interesting term, given that he's sitting, you know, and giving joint interviews with the president of the United States. He clearly is punching above that weight of that title, and he certainly seems to be leading the charge on helping to essentially gut these agencies. We are expecting further cuts at the Pentagon today, or announcements of them at least. There are government agencies around the country who are feeling this. There are also court cases trying to stop it. On Face the Nation Sunday, we have Senator Curtis of Utah joining us. He is one of the Republicans who on paper say, hey, you know, cutting back is great. More efficiency is great. All for DOGE. But when it comes to my state, can you have some compassion? You are just starting to see some of this ripple through the economy around the country. Some of these Republican senators are starting to stand up and not like what's happening in their backyards. You had Senator Katie Britt of Alabama, for example, saying cuts at an NIH-funded facility in her state doing medical research shouldn't necessarily be cut here. Senator Curtis, you have others, Senator Collins saying, maybe slow down a little bit. It's the beginnings of a pushback to what Elon Musk is doing.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
When it comes to Musk, the tech billionaire has raised eyebrows and made headlines over his out-of-the-ordinary conduct throughout the last month. Recently, while he was wearing a black MAGA hat, black coat, t-shirt, and sunglasses on stage, he grabbed a chainsaw, roared, and waved it over his head and told the crowd it was a chainsaw for bureaucracy. At a CPAC event, observers noted that he sometimes seemed incoherent, saying things like, "I am become meme," and "My mind is a storm." Musk also suggested that Fort Knox's gold depository wasn't real, saying, "We just want to see it and make sure somebody didn't spray paint lead or something." In his role as Trump's efficiency advisor, Musk has vowed to help save the country $1 trillion. Most recently, the Office of Personnel Management sent out a memo requesting federal workers explain what it is they did. Musk said a failure to comply with this request would be seen as a resignation. He also doubled down on Trump's return to office policy for all federal workers, saying that those who weren't back this week would also be placed on administrative leave. Musk has also been busy outside of his work with the U.S. government. In recent weeks, he also attempted a hostile takeover of the AI giant OpenAI. But that attempt failed when the company shot down his $97 billion offer. CBS News' Major Garrett joined Odyssey to share more about the tactics that Musk is taking in his role in the Trump administration.
What did you think of Elon yesterday at CPAC?
Especially performative. Oh. Especially performative. Yes. Even by Elon standards, even by the sort of trolling, triggering standards of that aspect of the Trump universe. So Javier Milei comes out from Argentina. He's got the chainsaw. He's got his sunglasses. You know,
yeah.
And he is very techie, very tech bro-y about the non-consequential things he's doing, which to federal employees, to the federal databases, to the records in the IRS and the Social Security Administration about how much money you, dear audience members, have made, what your bank account number is, all that other stuff. Now, maybe you're perfectly happy with Elon Musk and his associates having full-blown access to that. If you are, okay. If that's what you think you voted for, fine. But plenty of Americans aren't, and there are reasons to wonder why they need so much of that access, why they need to get so elbow-deep in databases when all they're supposed to be doing, if I understand it, is look for things that don't make sense in terms of allocations of dollars. Do you need to get that deep in the databases? They say yes. I'm not sure that's true. And plenty of reporters who are deeply experienced in database analysis say you don't. You can make these compare and contrast judgments without getting into so many databases and without the security protocols that federal law say you have to have to get into them. So there's a lot of questions about that, and he is so glib, so run fast and break things nonchalant about all of this, that if things do begin to unravel, let us say, and there are already signs of this, lengthening lines at national parks, let's say people who are calling about the IRS and their tax returns start getting not one-hour holds, not 20-minute holds, not 10-minute holds, but two-hour, three-hour holds. If federal grants for research start trickling down to major universities, you know, I don't know, Alabama, Louisiana, maybe those things will begin to catch notice. I can say that we have, in our history, streamlined and made more efficient the federal government. The Clinton-Gore administration went through a very long six-year process on this, saved hundreds of billions of dollars.
Right.
It can be done. It can be done.
Yes.
But you have to have a process that the taxpayers and the country at large are net comfortable with. And Elon seems completely removed intellectually and philosophically from that feedback loop. He says, if I say it's democratic, it's democratic. Well, guess what? The people will have a voice, and it eventually might even come all the way to you in the world of sunglasses and chainsaws.
If Trump's actions throughout his first 30 days in office are a sign of what's to come during his presidency, Americans are in for a wild ride. Among his latest actions are plans to take over the United States Postal Service, which, although part of the government, is an independent agency. KCBS political analyst Mark Sandalow provided an update on the latest.
I'm not sure most Americans even understand the relationship between the post office and the federal government. It's kind of weird.
Yes, you might be able to add me to that list, but I mean, I can tell you in basic terms that the post office does not receive taxpayer dollars. The post office is something where, you know, they sell stamps, and that's how they raise money, and that's how they pay for it. So it is sort of one of these, it's certainly not private, but it is not attached to any branch of government right now. It is a separate entity. And the result of that are things like big, you know, I don't know what they call them now, postal delivery people, mailmen and mailwomen, you know, are unionized, and there are different rules that apply to them than apply to the federal government. So in all this confusion, I mean, this is typical of what's gone on for the last month since Trump has been president. The Washington Post reports last night that Trump plans to take over the post office and put it in the Treasury Department. Now, it's different than privatizing the mail, which is what some people thought would happen, where, you know, you turn it over and UPS and FedEx, they can all compete. But the confusion in this is, first of all, the White House this morning denies it. They say, no, we're not talking about that. The second bit of confusion is it would be completely consistent with everything else the president has done. I mean, it's like, you know, 24 hours ago, we're talking about how they're talking about disbanding maybe, or, you know, the Presidio Trust. And, you know, the same questions with the post office. One, why would you do this? Two, can you do this? Since the post office, like the Presidio Trust, is set up by Congress. And besides, you know, perhaps putting out a new, you know, Trump is king stamp, which you could easily picture being done, it's not exactly clear how moving it inside the Treasury Department makes it more efficient.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand either. I mean, I guess as a postal consumer, will the price of posting a package go up? That's, I think, what a lot of people want to worry about.
And I think that Trump understands, like the cost of gasoline, that would be a huge consumer, you know, loser. That, you know, for a populist president, that's going to really hurt, you know, ratings. Now, there was a long time he was really upset with Jeff Bezos, who owns the Washington Post, who also owns Amazon, claiming that Amazon was making a fortune off of exploiting the Postal Service. And there was a while where he talked about changing things so that Amazon could no longer do that. Bezos is now a buddy of Trump's. He went to the inauguration. He's given millions of dollars. And that no longer, you know, seems to be on the table. It is a very confused situation. And again, this is the problem people get with, you know, sort of government by chaos. It's hard to understand. The one issue, I mean, most of us who live in urban areas, there are other ways that the mail could probably deliver just as efficiently. And I don't know about you, but 9 days out of 10, I get completely worthless mail, which I'd be just as happy if this was delivered once a week. But the reason the post office also exists is the same reason the public radio exists. There are people out in the boonies, way out and probably outside of listening range to KCBS, who rely on the postal service, just like this rely on public radio, because otherwise it's not going to reach them. Those tend to be Trump voters. So here we are talking about this, and it is typical. If this were in the Biden administration, you would expect a full briefing on this. But this being one of 97 things coming out of the Trump administration in the last 24 hours, it's a little hard to understand how serious they are about it.
Trump has continued to vow that he'll slash government spending. And the idea of sending 20% of the money DOGE has saved already back to Americans via $5,000 stimulus checks has been floated. But just how far Trump will really go remains to be seen. For instance, he promised on the campaign trail that Social Security and Medicare benefits would be safe. He even echoed that in a Fox News interview just last week alongside Musk. During the interview, Trump said, quote, "Medicare, Medicaid, none of that stuff is going to be touched." But just the next day, he endorsed the House Republican budget plan on Truth Social. Notably, that plan directs the Energy and Commerce Committee, which oversees Medicaid, to find $880 billion in spending cuts over the next decade. Medicaid is the single largest source of funding for medical and health-related services to 72 million low-income and disabled Americans. And Trump publicly endorsed the plan to cut spending for this program, despite the fact that Forbes reported that the move will likely be fiercely opposed by powerful interest groups, including hospitals, doctors, the nursing home industry, and even many state governments. Trump's team itself seemed confused by trying to reconcile a promise of no cuts in Medicaid with the sweeping budget cuts he also endorsed. Then the White House later clarified the president's position. It said that he's committed to protecting Medicaid and Medicare, but will slash waste, fraud, and abuse inside those systems. However, as many noted, there's no evidence that even comes close to showing $880 billion in fraud or abuse is occurring within Medicaid. The idea to cut Medicaid is also really unpopular, even among some Republicans, and at a time when the GOP majority in Congress is pretty tight. A group of House GOP moderates has already warned Speaker Mike Johnson in a letter that slashing Medicaid would have serious consequences. This show is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strausser, and by me. I'm Lauren Berry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring training and opening day is officially upon us.
Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to the late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.